How's it going, guys? Welcome back to The Foo Show. I'm your host, Coach Ali Foo Show. In this episode, episode number 30, we will be talking about isolation exercises and if they are, in fact, a waste of time. But before we go on with the main meat of the episode, I just want to make some announcements or some exchange of words before we go talk about the main topic. I want to say two things. First of all, I do want to apologize for the, lack of upload. This is the first time I'm uploading a podcast episode in the past month. And the second thing I want to say is thank you for clicking on this video or clicking on this episode despite the 1 month delay. But I do want to say I do have some reason on why I've been a bit busy from my usual upload schedule, and it's a good reason. But I also want to say that I haven't told a lot of people this because I don't want to jinx things, but I'm just going to say it anywhere because a client of mine told me that if you put it out in the universe or if you wish it from the universe will grant it back to you. So this is me putting it out to the universe. I've only told a handful of people. I literally mean a handful of people. Of course, the first person I told was my wife, and then just a handful of close friends and some of my clients. You know what? Actually, my family doesn't even know yet. So you, the viewer or the listener right now, this is some exclusive news. Well, it's not going to be a big deal for you guys, but it's a big deal for me and my wife because thankfully, I've finally gotten a job offer in Tokyo, Japan as a personal trainer. Thankfully, because that's the only thing that I'm good at in life. I laughed at that statement, but I think that's the truth. That's actually the only thing I am good at. It was a really stressful time leading up to this because I have been applying for some variety of jobs in Japan, and it was my first time, which led to a second, third, or fourth time for me to get emails from companies saying the very infamous grouping of words saying, "Mr. Fusho, we regret to inform you that they did not accept me for the job." So of course that really hurt because the opening or the opportunity of me and my wife living in Japan, it's starting to fade away. But out of nowhere, I got a job offer from an English-speaking gym in Japan, which is great news because I cannot apply for any other gym in Tokyo because I have zero proficiency when it comes to speaking in Japanese. The only Japanese I know, I guess, are the few repeating terms that you'd hear from anime, and that is definitely not enough to carry a conversation, let alone a fitness conversation or a coaching conversation. So really, really happy about that. But if you know me really well, I choose to not really be happy or to show or express my happiness until everything is on paper. Because, you know, things might not... I want to be very, very positive about it, but I think it's a good idea as well to reserve my emotions for when everything's on paper. Everything needs to be on paper, and that's the only time I can finally, to the fullest of my abilities, rejoice. But all right, so that info, I guess, was good for the people who have been following this podcast for a while now. If you're a new viewer and you've spent the first 5 minutes listening to an announcement that you have no attachment to, well, I'm sorry about that. But we're finally going to get to talk about the meat of the episode. Let's actually talk about fitness now in this fitness podcast. So the topic at hand for today is isolation exercises. Are they a waste of your time? I'm going to say the answer that a lot of people hate, but it's the answer that a lot of people need to hear, is that it, of course, depends. It is very, very, very context-based to know if you would need or want to do isolation exercises. So why am I even talking about this? And before you talk about the why, let's talk about what an isolation exercise is. An isolation exercise is an exercise that only requires one muscle group to be used or to perform an exercise. The very classic example would be the bicep curl. So the bicep curl looks like this, curling your arm, and the only muscle that needs to be used would be the bicep, because the bicep is what bends your arm, and then you just have to let your bicep control the descent. That's an isolation exercise, as opposed to a compound exercise, wherein you are doing an exercise that requires multiple muscle groups to perform the lift. So a good example would be the deadlift, because the deadlift requires your glutes, your legs, your lower back, your upper back, your grip, your core to some extent, to be activated or to perform to help contribute to finishing the lift. So again, an isolation exercise requires one muscle group, while a compound exercise requires many, all right, multiple or many to be done. Now, why am I talking about the possibility of isolation exercises being a waste of time or being unnecessary? Again, I did start out this episode by saying that this highly depends on the context. It really, I was going to say almost always depends on context, but no, it always depends on the context of the individual. So why am I even considering the possibility of isolation exercises being a waste of time? I would say that it became popular to somewhat hate on isolation exercises because there have been sayings in the recent years, or actually I'm pretty sure like recent, even over a decade, there have been sayings such as, if you want bigger and stronger legs, just squat. If you want bigger and stronger arms, just bench. If you want a bigger and stronger back, just do pull-ups, etc. So the main theme of those phrases or sayings is that just stick with the compound exercises and then your entire muscularity or your entire physique should develop accordingly. And to some extent, those statements are very, very much true. I'm 100% going to say that if you see somebody doing, example, only squat, only bench, only deadlift, only pull-ups, only bent over rows, like those are big five major, compound exercises, without a doubt, if that person performs those five exercises cleanly with great programming for 6 months or 6 months to a year, you are gonna, I'm gonna guarantee that that person is bigger and stronger, all right? More muscular, and just brute strength overall has improved. That is without a doubt. So does that mean that isolation exercises were unnecessary for him? Again, it depends, because here's one scenario to back up the it depends answers. It's a want or need scenario. Let's talk about it in a scenario that I relate with so much. That person that just did all those big exercises, the squat, bench, deadlift, pull-up, bent over rows, that person probably got bigger everywhere except for the medial deltoids or the side shoulder, or that the part of the shoulder that makes you get that capped shoulder, that bolder shoulder look. That person probably looks something like how most powerlifters do. Most powerlifters, not saying all, that they just have big pecs, big lats, big quads, big glutes, but probably small shoulders, probably small calves. And what else could be small for a powerlifter? That was a joke that I'm going to make targeted to all my male powerlifting friends. You know what I'm talking about. But anyway, so specifically, the shoulders and the calves are going to be not as developed as the other major muscle groups, just because they weren't worked on in an isolated way. That's because the shoulders and the calves need to be worked in an isolated way because it's so hard to train them effectively with compound exercises. That's because not in those big exercises, you don't see your arm going further away like this, which is basically the sole purpose or the sole function of the side shoulder, the medial deltoid, to raise your arm away from your torso. That literally is its function. And then for the calves, its function is for you to raise your body. So again, this is, you know what a calf raise looks like. You're not going to see that in a squat. You're not going to see that in a deadlift. So because that muscle group did not work in its intended function, it's not going to grow. That's just the nature of that, of compound exercises. They are great. They save you a lot of time because you don't have to do an isolation exercise per muscle group. That's why a lot of people praise the compound exercise, but you are without a doubt going to ignore some of the exercise or ignore some of the muscle groups that aren't involved. So again, to some extent, you then realize that isolation exercises are definitely needed if the person wants bigger shoulders and bigger calves. If the person is a diehard power lifter, they actually don't need to train their medial shoulders and their calves to become a better power lifter. You are not going to get, or you're not going to hear the advice that, hey, if you want a bigger squat and deadlift, you have to increase your calf size by an inch, right? You're never going to hear that. For bench naman, for the shoulders, you're never going to hear advice. If you want to increase your bench by 50 pounds, you have to increase your lateral raises from 10 pounds per dumbbell to 15. You're not going to hear that. And I mean, of course, if the person's shoulder health is compromised to begin with, then maybe something can help by doing isolated work. But generally speaking, you are never going to hear that advice that a bigger medial deltoid and a bigger calf will directly affect increasing the performance for the squat, bench, and deadlift. So on that note, it's not needed. Isolation exercises for those scenarios or specific examples are not needed. So with that complicated scenario that I've pictured already, when do I think that isolation exercises are absolutely necessary? Scenario one is that I think they're necessary if the client just actually wants them to be bigger and more developed. Again, a powerlifter does not need bigger shoulders, but if they want bigger shoulders just because it looks cool, then go ahead, add it. Then, therefore, isolation exercises are not a waste of time. If the person wants to develop a very underdeveloped muscle that cannot be fixed by compound exercises, then yes, as mentioned, perform those isolation exercises. Another scenario is that if the person just enjoys a pump, and this does not just involve with shoulders and calves, this falls under every muscle group, whether it be the pecs, again for pec flies, or the glutes for like hip thrusts, or biceps for bicep curls, etc. If the client really enjoys them, enjoys the pump that they get from doing isolation work, then by all means, go ahead and do it. That's really something that's going to be helpful for them to feel like, oh, I'm progressing, or like that I'm enjoying this. I feel a good pump. I want to go back to the gym every single day or like every week just to make sure that they maintain the progress and they look good. So if the client loves it, then by all means, allow isolation exercises in the program. But another way that I love including isolation exercises is as a warm-up. They're great warm-up. So I actually love warming up my biceps, triceps before I bench, just because my elbows or like everything, like my entire arm has a hard time warming up or like feel like they're primed and ready to go for a heavy lift. So what I do is I do some bicep, like light bicep curls, light tricep extensions to really feel like, okay, my arms are ready to go. I'm really ready to bench. I'm really ready to do any heavy lifting for my upper body. So that's when I think that, oh, isolation exercises are great. They are not a waste of time. But this is a big but. In contrast, I do have a strong opinion, a very, very strong opinion on when not to do isolation exercises. Here's the first scenario. If the client is an absolute beginner, I think it is hard to argue that isolation exercises are great. I think they should just stick to compound exercises. Why do I want them to do compound exercises? Because as a beginner, you have to be conscious of the time that you are consuming in the gym. And especially if you're a personal trainer, if you have 1 hour with your client each time, you have to be very conscious on how you're delegating like each and every single minute of that hour. You can't make them do a lot of isolation exercises because that's going to take time to do, like learn how to do this, learn how to do that. Logistically speaking, it is a lot smarter and wiser to prioritize compound exercises for an absolute beginner. Example, like literally a first session, it's stupid. I'm going to say it straight up. It is absolutely stupid to make your client do bicep curls and tricep extensions. Even if their main goal is to be a bodybuilder with bigger arms and they're an absolute beginner, why in the hell would you be making them do bicep curls and tricep extensions? Make them learn how to press, like a whether that be the chest press, the overhead press, the bench press, or like my personal favorite would be the push-up. If they want, or like for pulling variations, like make them learn how to do a row, a single arm row, a pull down, or if they're good at pull-ups, make them do pull-ups. I find it hard to believe that I actually see that happening in the gym, where a lot of personal trainers would make their absolute beginners do this isolation work. And without a doubt, I know it's just because they're lazy. They just make them do bicep curls because it's so easy to teach. You don't need to be a personal trainer to teach somebody to do a bicep curl. If it's a standing bicep curl, get a dumbbell, straight arms, go up, slowly bring it down, all the way down. And then that's repeated for the number of reps. That's literally it. And of course, there are some advanced techniques or whatever. But generally speaking, that's the nature of the bicep curl. Go up and down in a controlled manner. That's literally it. And I hate it when I see, I'm sorry, I'm ranting already, but I hate it when I see personal trainers do that just because they're lazy. It would benefit the client a lot more if you make them if you use that 1 hour to make them learn an exercise that will benefit them a lot more. Then down the line, it can be as, when I say down the line, it can even mean like 2 months, 2 months after being a beginner, that we can introduce some isolation work to that client. But don't make them do bicep curls in the first week or let alone the first session. Just make them get better at whatever compound exercise they're able to do, and then slowly introduce isolation work. Don't waste their time just because you're lazy. I'm speaking to the coaches, and if you're an absolute beginner, don't waste your time doing isolation work. Learn the big lifts. I'm not saying learn all the big lifts. Learn 1, 2, or 3 big lifts, and you are going to be solved for the first few months. And then once you see that there are some muscle imbalances that are going to be developed, then that's when you can either change up your technique to make sure that the imbalances are not going to be developed even further, or that's when you can introduce isolation work. Sometimes I do tell a lot of people that fitness is a very simple thing. Just go in, work hard, get out. Some degree, that's basically it. But this is where the complexity of personal training or the complexity of working out comes, to know when to adjust what to actually adjust, how much to adjust it. That's when it becomes a bit more complicated. There's another scenario that I don't want people to do isolation work. Okay, here. If the client's main goal is fat loss or general fitness, there is literally no point for them to do isolation work. Let's go talk about bicep curls again because it's an easy image for a lot of people. If you want the person to lose fat, the first thing is obviously going to be their diet, their nutrition, because that is really going to be the main thing to dictate the person's how that person's weight will be managed, if they'll actually lose weight. Diet is the first thing. But if we're going to talk about their fitness journey within the gym, isolation exercises should not be there. Now, that's literally a waste of time. Imagine if somebody is in the 300-pound weight range and then they have full mobility, they have everything, they're able to stand up, do a lot of turf work. Why are you going to make them do bicep curls? They don't need that. That's not going to have a meaningful contribution to them to lose fat or to be significantly stronger. It would be smarter to make them do a press, or like, in other words, a push or a pull or a hinge or a squat or a lunge or a carry, like those six major compound movements or movement patterns. Make them move their whole body, and that's what's going to make their body demand to burn more calories. And of course, again, I'm going to repeat this because I know some people might contest it. Yes, diet is the first thing that should be considered when it comes to somebody who's extremely obese, who's really after fat loss. Or actually, you know what? Even if the person's not obese, if the person is, you know, like on the overweight spectrum and their sole goal is for fat loss, not bigger arms or not a developed physique, just fat loss, there is no point to make them do isolation work. Actually, the only time that I would think that an overweight person should be able to do, or the only time that it's forgivable for somebody who's overweight and above to do isolation work, is if they're injured or if their coordination is so poor that they can't do anything else. But I find that it is hard to believe. It's hard to believe that you cannot make somebody who's not even coordinated to do a big movement, like let's say a row. I think the row is the easiest movement that doesn't need a lot of teaching, or that doesn't need a lot of hands-on, super duper detailed teaching. You just need to pull. Is that going to be perfect technique? No. But the fact that they are motioning in that way, or like moving their body that way, that should be more than enough already to make their body be stimulated enough for growth. And for them to, and of course, if the fat loss is the main goal, for them to burn more calories. So I would say 99% of the time, if you're a beginner and if you're after fat loss or just general fitness, I don't think it is smart at all to include isolation work. Again, unless that's just something that the client really enjoys, even if they're fat loss, if they super duper enjoy it, then fine, go make them do it. And if you're doing it in the context of as a warm-up, then go ahead and do so, okay? And that became heated because I'm all the gyms that I've been to in the Philippines and even in Japan, I've seen a lot of personal trainers be extremely lazy with their coaching because they just make their clients do bicep curls and leg extension. That's a good one. Here are the stupid common ones because they're super easy to teach. Bicep curls, tricep extension, leg extension, leg curl. What else is an easy one? Front raise, shoulder. Oh, there. That's a super common one. Front raise, lateral raise, but almost always done poorly. Those are the very easy to teach exercises that a lot of personal trainers make their clients do, and I find that infuriating. Again, isolation work has its place, has its time and place, and for a lot of people, they shouldn't be doing it right off the bat. Again, I make my clients do a lot of isolation work, but in very specific context scenarios, because logistically or physically or emotionally they want to do it, etc., then that's when I make my clients do isolation work. But with everything that I've listed down or I've explained, it has to be understood when to do isolation work, when not to, when to prioritize compound, and etc. So, like, just to wrap things up here, my final recommendations: use isolation exercises appropriately. And the main things to base it off would be on the client's goals, like the actual goal of the client. If they want to prioritize those muscle groups to be isolated, and if they actually just enjoy or prefer it, that's a major, major difference to dictate the need slash want or the scenario for them to include or to have isolation exercises in the program. And of course, make sure that the compound, I wasn't able to dwell on this much, but to prevent any muscle imbalances from happening, it's really, really important that if you are going to prioritize big compound exercises, which you should, 99% of people should, you have to make sure that you're executing them really, really well. Because if you're not executing them well, that is when imbalances are going to occur, especially if you do it through time. And then that's what might merit you to do isolation work, just because of an imbalance that could have been prevented with better technique. I guess that's about it. Sorry, I really did rant off because of my frustration towards a lot of personal trainers with regards to isolation work. But again, that's it. Prioritize your compound work. Isolation exercises are great, but only when you actually need or want to do them. All right. So that's it. That's the end of episode 30. I will be sure to upload a lot more. What's the term? I can't even think of the term. Consistent. Stupid. I will be sure to upload more consistently. And I really do hope that you guys enjoyed this episode. If there are any questions about it, or if that hurt anyone's feelings, please do let me know, because I always enjoy any form of feedback for this episode or for this podcast. And if that's all, and I guess that's all, I'll see you guys next week for episode 31.